to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 242, Best of 2018, End of the Year Podcast Special. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at @comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? This is a very cool episode, I think. I want you guys to enjoy it as best you guys can. I have a lot to go through. The only way I know how to hit it is to go my normal route and hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. 100 episodes ago, we entitled the podcast #cornrolls. Now let that one just sink in real quick. At Member the Beaner and at For the Villain, chit chat, then hit what the fuck news. Brothers charged in theft of grandparents' comic collection. Yeah, it was a thing. Man attempts to rob car wash with potato chip bag. Nervous flyer screwed by pals who secretly pack dildo in his bag. I would totally do that to my boys, dude. And I believe that's pretty much what we fucking spoke about 100 episodes ago. Why you don't eat corn off a power drill. And you probably thought to yourselves, we entitled this episode what we did because we were culturally insensitive. No, guys, cornrolls, #cornrolls. So this one we actually hit, there's a video, there's a YouTube video that you guys can still find. Or search little girl eating corn with power drill. It was a thing. It was gnarly. We pulled up the video and it's just gnarly as fuck. So a little girl decides to eat corn on the cob off of a power drill, and it looked like it was going slow at first, and she looks like she was fucking, she didn't chip a tooth or anything. She was like fucking taking the corn cob down like fucking a trooper, and a piece or strand of her hair got stuck in the power drill and on the corn, and it just fucking started rum, and it was nasty because you can see like her scalp kind of get a good chunk of her hair like just ripped off. So it was gnarly. Hence the whole #cornrolls. Again, you guys thought we were culturally insensitive. We also hit 7 qualities that you should never settle on in a relationship. That was probably me going off, just ripping everything apart. We hit comic talk, comic news, Andre the Giant, life story, coming to the big screen. With Dwayne Johnson, Jumanji will honor Robin Williams' movie. So, I still haven't seen the movie. It's been out. It's, well, 100 episodes ago constitutes 2 years ago, and I still haven't seen the movie. Tim Burton gives Beetlejuice 2 update. Supergirl heads to CW, which has been kicking ass. ABC cancels Agent Carter. Atari Centipede and Missile Command aim for the big screen. With Margot Robbie to star and produce in Harley Quinn-centric female ensemble film, which the past few months we have been talking about the title of that one, Do I Care, because it's DC. Oh, we're going to probably talk a lot of DC and Marvel and Image and everything tonight. Jessica Jones Netflix Season 2 and Defenders to film back-to-back, which is interesting because of all the news, especially the shows on Netflix getting canceled, was interesting. And then we hit Oni Press Valiant Marvel and DC Comics titles and news. We hit comic reviews, all new, all different. Avengers number 9, Southern Bastards number 14. Jason Aaron's name is going to get mentioned a few times today. All new X-Men number 9, we hit Black Panther number 2, Invincible Iron Man number 9, and Vision number 7. And Tom King was writing that one at the time for Marvel before he got signed to its exclusive DC deal. So yeah, you're probably going to hear his name a few times. All right, this is going to be a long fucking show, and I hope it's not crazy long, but I have a lot to go through, and I'm going to have to cut a lot or just see where it takes me. If I'm feeling good, the jive, I'm just going to fucking shoot it out and fucking spit it, and that's all I have. So bullet points I have to hit. Bruheim is a thing. So I went to a Halloween, just kidding, the Christmas party, that my friend invited me to, and myself and Jude. So Marianne hit us up, and we went to her apartment condo complex Christmas party, and we met a brewery. I met a brewery. I believe Eric was a guy, and Dan was his partner, owning the brewery. Just dope guys I met that I started talking to, and they're a new upstart. If anyone's familiar with Anaheim, with Orange County, they opened up this brewery very close to the Angel Stadium. And these guys were cool and down to earth, and they were having not just samples, but like, yeah, here you go. Like, it's on us. So I got to chat with these guys, and it wasn't limited. So they were just cool, again, down to earth and rad. Getting to know these guys, just chilling and having a beer with them. They're having a drink too. I really came up with a fucking idea. Like, I really want to interview these guys for a few episodes of the Audio Chronicles. So these brewery cats, these owners, with Eric also being in a touring punk band. And the more I was talking to these guys, I'm like, your story I'm fucking digging on. Like, I have a card in my backpack. I do a bunch of things on the side. Like, I have my job, and then I have my second job. And the podcasts are considered jobs. If nobody knows that much yet, doing all two or both, and then all three sometimes, is a lot of fucking work. But it was just cool to talk to these guys. And again, that they're so down to earth. And Eric even asked me, so he's like, so we're all busy. And he's like, so what do? Like, you get like 6 hours of sleep a night? And I'm like, no. He's like, fuck, you work a lot. I'm like, yeah, I kind of do. So meeting a stranger and hearing that was kind of weird, especially because I've been hearing that all year long. But again, these cats were, again, so just rad and down to earth. I really want to and need to talk to these guys again. So that's number five on the list. And these are just random bullet points anyway, so it's not even five. I'm going to talk to these guys again. I'm going to interview these guys. I told RG about it. I told Christine from work about it. I told Alan about it. So we're going to go check out the brewery. And on the side, probably we're going to triple team these guys, RG, myself, and Alan. And they used to do a beer podcast before, Beer Knots. So to have these guys with me to record with these guys, interview these guys, would be dope. Speaking of Alan from the 2OC podcast, which is RG's brother, we did a special crossover podcast at Christmas shows for the most part. So that was about 2 weeks ago by now. I dropped ours, which was the Christmas crossover, last week. And just recording with those guys. I recorded a long session. We recorded a two-hour-long podcast with them, and then we recorded our Comic Syndicate / Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. I might have thrown some people off. I probably should have put it out as a 0.1 episode, but I thought it was strong enough and good enough to have as its own separate podcast, just alone / both podcasts, of course. So it was really dope to hang out with them. And if you guys want to catch them, please follow them. They're the 2OC podcast, Anton Duong and Alan Flores, two dope cats. I always fucking do that. I don't know why. And just very cool. We're going to be on their podcast, and they're going to put that one up, I believe, the first or second week of January. That's going to be a longer one, and they run the show. Last week that I put out is the Christmas crossover, and that's me in charge rolling my fucking show the way I do. And we had fun. It was legit fun to have that many guys on the show, and everyone had enough airtime. I would have given more of Anton more airtime, but the vibe was fucking cool. No one stepped over anyone's toes, so that was fucking dope. Next bullet point is just I'm going to hit about how I almost lost all of this work for the Best of 2018 show. So crazy, yes, but 2 weeks leading up to this episode, I somehow deleted and or lost everything. And I was freaking balls. And I hated it because I'm like, oh, fuck me. That was a lot of work that I don't have the time to put into anymore. And that was scary. I mean, it was weird. Not a lot of things scare me. And I'm like, fuck me, just more work. And I don't have the time, especially for the holiday, with the holiday seasons and everything. I don't have the time to do things, which brings me seriously to my next bullet point. And so before I get to work right now on this show and talk about everything, and hit my list, I really need to hit how honestly my list kind of sucks. Because I work too much. And I know I work too much. And that's not a bad thing. But this past year, 2018, I did something I haven't done in 3 years. And I've been working my ass off even more. So, yes, working my ass off. But this year was a year where I actually made time for other people in my life. Just on so many fronts, I kind of had to, like the familial thing. I had to be there more so as a family member, as a brother. So just giving more people more of my time this year was really cool. So to give myself more to people was not a weird thing, but it was nice to feel human, if that makes sense to anyone. Like, I realize it, like, I know I work a lot, but, like, I'm trying to make time for everyone and the people that mean something to me in my life. So it was a good self-reflective thing for me to feel and experience. But, yeah, so that's about it. I mean, those are my bullet points. Getting freaked out, losing the list, and, like, shit, this sucks. And, like, I work too much. And hearing that was an underlying theme of all year long, hearing that from everyone was interesting, and knowing I'm a glutton for punishment like that, and lack of sleep, and just sleep deprived. But so having people that care and know, like, well, fuck, dude, you're a fucking grinder, you're a hustler, is very cool too. So speaking of that, I just got off of the second job now. I'm exhausted. I didn't know when I was going to have time or the energy to pull this stunt off. But it's something that I miss doing. It feels like I haven't recorded in a while. I've been banking up deep dives and rabbit holes and been putting those out. So I have had a little bit of break writing, but the break has been to put in the work into this particular podcast. That, again, without further ado, here you go. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with some comic talk and all my best of 2018.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the
Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and are having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, I'm back with some comic talk. I need to hit it real quick because I have a huge list that I've had to condense several times. Just letting you guys know prehand, it's a pain in the ass to fucking put these lists together, to compile these lists and keep track of everything you've seen, read, heard throughout the year that you love the fuck out of. And to a certain degree, what you didn't like, and your top five turns into like top three, and your top 10 turns into like, how do you condense so much fucking work? It is really interesting, and it is fucking work to a certain degree that a lot of people don't know, understand, or even realize. So that being said, I wrote all this, and I'm not writing it to be funny, but I wrote it with my persona, my sense of humor, the only way I know how to write. I'm going to start off this year with shittiest movie of the year. So we're going to hit movies first of all. So shittiest movie of the year. I might sound a little cynical or even extremely cynical talking about these. But number five, shittiest movie of the year, is going to be Hereditary. I love it for what it could have been. But wow, that fucking writer made some bad writing choices. There's just one scene in particular. It's supposed to be a scary slash horror slash suspense movie. It was not a good movie. Like, I didn't like the writing options he went, or the roads he went down. And this is going to be the most cynical. There's only one fucking funny scene about this. And I'm watching the movie in the theater by myself. Well, solo watching it. But, I mean, there are people in there. So, fuck you, RG and Victoria. But watching it. And I'm like, I really hope this happens right now. Thinking it to myself. And it actually happened. And I'm like, holy shit, did you guys see that? And I start like chuckling, like, holy shit, that was fucking dope. That was hilarious. And I'm looking around like, high five, like, oh shit, you guys are all serious. I'm like, that wasn't funny to you guys. I was laughing for like 10 minutes straight. And everyone was quiet because it's a suspenseful, scary, quote-unquote, movie. And I'm the only one, like, in my seat, like, I couldn't contain myself. I'm like, oh my god, that was fucking so fucking rad. To the point where I almost walked out of the theater real quick, just, like, pretend I was, you know, getting a phone call. Just because it was that stupid. And I'm like, that did not fucking happen. That was not enough to save the movie for me. Number four, shittiest movie of the year. Wreck-It Ralph 2. So for Disney, great. For kids, great. For adults, it's like, The message behind that was essentially encourage your fucking friends to do more, and let's not hold our friends back, and let's not hold people back. Not everyone's like that, but it was just very, I don't know, badly written also in my point of view, or yeah, my opinion for the most part. Fuck it. Everyone has these lists, and if, you know, you guys disagree, please, like, this is why I'm giving you my list. Everyone's right, and we're all wrong. And you know what? My list is going to differ than your guys. And you know what? Your guys' list is going to differ than mine. But that's what makes it a cool talking point. It was just bad. That encouragement. Just give people more encouragement. Number three, shittiest movie of the year, is going to be Jurassic World 2. Everything was terrible. Not the acting. You know, it was just bad, dude. You empathize with the dinosaurs, especially that brontosaurus on that island, on that one scene. Besides that, you just don't give a shit about anything else or anyone else in the movie, where it's like, you know what? Fuck it. I hope you guys all fucking die. If I'm the only one that walked out of the theater thinking that, or even the antagonist was such a dick and so easily beaten, I guess, was bad. It sucked. And I know it's a setup for the third part. And you know what? Fuck it out. Do I even give a shit now? Probably not. Number two shittiest movie of the year is going to be Red Sparrow. If you like Jennifer Lawrence as an actress, you're going to hate this movie. Like, straight up. If you're a fan of J-Law naked, then it's a great movie. It was a very terrible fucking movie. The action sequences were bad. It wasn't enough to save the movie. Like, her stripping down. Like, it was not a good fucking movie. And I sat through that one alone. But number one shittiest movie of the year is going to have to be The Strangers. Wow. Just fucking wow. This movie sucks. Please Kill Me Too While You're At It was what I'm thinking to myself. Like, wow. And I sat through it, which was worse. But without ruining anything, like, there's a scene in the beginning where it's like there's this dumbass young girl, 13, 14, 15. She's got to be like 17 or 18, like in real life. But this little girl is smoking a cigarette. And granted, I'm a smoker. But it just pissed me off. She didn't know how to use a lighter. She was just puffing the cigarette. And I'm like, oh, I just don't like this. Like, it's fake red. Like, I know it's a movie. I know it's fake. Especially killers, you know, killer family like this. It was bad. And the ending of the movie was the same way it started. I'm like, oh, this bitch still doesn't know how to use a lighter. She's a fucking idiot. Those are my shittiest movies of the year. Next, I'm going to hit the movies of the year. And these ones are the ones that I fucking loved. And speaking of, I actually have a list from a bunch of people. So I don't watch TV. And I know I've said that many times, but a lot of people will think just because I watch sports, you're watching TV. Technically, if you want to break it down, I don't even want to have this conversation. I mean, fuck me, really? I watch sports. I'm a big fucking sports dude. Do I waste my time watching TV? No, and fuck no. So Netflix, anything streaming, although I did, and I do have some on my list. I have some people that did give me a list of what they like. And so first one's going to be RG, my homeboy from Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, my co-host. His are going to be, first of all, it's going to be his favorite shows on Netflix, I guess, are going to be Club de Cuervos on Netflix. Narcos is his other one. The 100 is a show he loves. He loves The Travelers. He loves Continuum. And number two spot and number one spot, he loves the fuck out of Black Mirror. So honorable mentions for Victoria. Victorious, the executive producer we have. Hers are going to be Disenchantment on Netflix. Sabrina, or I'm sorry, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is on Netflix. And The Handmaid's Tale. Honorable mentions on her part. These are their top three now. Hers is going to be Outlander on Stars. Number two is going to be Manifest on NBC. And Travelers on Netflix. So those are two. And I have Christine's as well. She says TV shows. Her favorite ones. Number three, Daredevil. So Netflix. Sharp Objects, I've heard good things about. And The Haunting of Hill House. I have never seen any of those. So those are her list. Now I'm going to read us off one more list. We have numbers 10 from Lynn, homegirl. Thank you for listening still. The Innocent Man. She says, true story based on a John Grisham novel. Number 9, The Keepers. who killed him. And she's giving like small examples, I guess. The staircase. Did he do it again? Number 7 is going to be Relatable. It's an Ellen DeGeneres stand-up special on Netflix, I believe. Room, which is an Emma Donoghue novel. Never even heard of that. She likes number 5. Comedians. Get in cars. Get in coffee with Jerry Seinfeld. She likes number 4. Coco. She says, no explanation needed. She loves number 3, Alias Grace. Just check this period piece out. Haven't heard of that. Number 2 comes another one, The Haunting of Hill House. So not scary if I can watch it. And number 1 favorite show she was watching was Making a Murderer. She says, corruption in Manitowoc County. So those are their lists. Now we're going to hit some movies real quick. And I'm going to hit and fight for my movies as well. So we're going to start with RG's favorite movies first, and we'll go victorious. RG's favorite movies he saw this year. Number 5 is going to be Overlord. Number 4 is going to be The Avengers Infinity War. Number 3 is going to be Solo for him. Number 2 for RG is going to be Crazy Rich Asians. And his number 1 movie of the year 2018 is going to be Black Panther. Victoria's list is going to be number 5, best movie for her. Is Incredibles 2. Number 4 is going to be Crazy Rich Asians. So they have similarities. Number 3 is going to be for her, Infinity War. Number 2 is going to be, I like this one, A Quiet Place. And number 1 for Victorious is going to be Black Panther. So those are their list. Again, they watch TV. I do not. I'm going to go into mine right now. So here you go. This is from Christine. I actually didn't go to the movies that often this year, so I gave you 2 that I did watch and liked. Number 2 is going to be for her, Crazy Rich Asians. I've heard great things about it. Everyone keeps telling me to watch it. Everyone keeps telling me I'm going to love it. Number 1 for her was going to be Solo, A Star Wars Story. Here's my list, and before I do jump on, the only thing I did watch was on YouTube Red, and it's going to be, honestly, Cobra Kai was the only thing I've saw fully back-to-back, probably twice, and I loved the fuck out of it. So if that's TV, whoever says you do watch TV, you can still fucking suck me on that one. Now let's hit movies for me. Now, I did watch a lot of movies. My second job is a movie theater barista / bartender. So I get a lot of movies. I get to enjoy a lot of movies. These are going to be honorable mentions for me. Solo is an honorable mention. Bumblebee is an honorable mention. Creed 2 is an honorable mention. The Incredibles 2 is an honorable mention. Still talking about movies of the year, here's my top 5 now. And this is going to be really weird because today, like, this list is a constant fluctuation. It changes for me all the time because it's like, how do I feel about this? How do I feel about that? Number 5 for me is going to be A Quiet Place. And I'm going to fight for it. I believe John Krasinski wrote and directed it. The fact that a writer can write so much dialogue and just so much exposition on something to the point where you have to write silence is hard to do and hard to fucking pull off. I always respect that more. It is a suspense movie. It's not a horror movie. It's almost sci-fi, but they don't really give much unless you've seen the movie. I enjoyed the fuck out of it. Again, to pull off a movie like that is ballsy. And the fact that he can hit the tones that he did, I love the fuck out of it. Number 4 is going to be interesting. I had to change it today. Number 4 for me is going to be Black Panther. I know. It was originally number 3. Number 4 for me, number 3 for me is going to be A Star is Born. That was originally number 2 in the number 2 spot. Number 3 was Black Panther, so A Star is Born is now number 3, and I know what people are thinking. A Star is Born is great. It deserves top 5. Bradley Cooper, the way he wrote it, the way he gave the emotions, as much work as Homeboy. Look, out of everyone, I dig the fuck out of and respect the fuck out of work ethic. The fact that he poured himself into this movie, he wrote his ass off, he acted his ass off, he got the voice mannerisms down of Sam Elliott, he learned how to play guitar, he learned how to write music, he learned how to play on stage. Everything was fucking dope, and I loved the fuck out of it. And even Lady Gaga, and it was fucking dope. And it was a beautiful movie, and it was a sad fucking movie. And it made me, you know what? It was a gut punch. It really did fucking hurt me, and it did hit me. And you know what? It choked me up. And I'm not a pussy. I don't feel like a pussy about saying that. It really did, and I loved the fuck out of it. The more I'm thinking about it, though, I'm like, well, it essentially turned into a Lady Gaga, Life of Lady Gaga day of movie. And it's been done 5 times before. So technically, I had to bump it down because this one was a tough one. I moved one that was initially number 4. This is my new number 2. And I'm like, fuck, is this something I want to do? And I'm like, you know what? Yes. Movie of the year this year is going to be number 2. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. This movie is just so fucking dope. First of all, animation style is fucking beautiful. It's nothing anyone has seen before. It's a different style of animation that is, if you don't appreciate it, it's going to pass you by. Like, it can be off-putting. Seeing these panels, it looks like a fucking comic book. And even if you don't like comics or know what a comic book looks like, you have to appreciate and respect, like, this is completely fucking different. I've never seen anything like this. On top of that, the writing was great. And the essential story meaning behind everything was like, you don't need a mask. Like, anyone can be a fucking hero. You know, there's tragedy going on. Anyone can be a hero. Anyone can do it to stop treating people bad. And it's like, let's have more confidence in ourselves type of deal was beautiful. So the uplifting aspect of it is a family movie too. I mean, if anyone knows the story of Miles Morales, and Into the Spider-Verse gives you so many Spider-Men and Spider-Gwen and Spider-Ham. It's a good fucking story. Like, again, if you guys don't like animated movies, you guys are missing out on this not watching it theatrically. You really have to watch it. And again, beautiful story, great movie, and I loved the fuck out of it. It got moved to number 2 today. Number 1, I'm going to go the opposite route now. Let's hurt some people. Let's piss some people off. Avengers Infinity War was movie of the year for me. Number 1 spot. Straight up, like I was talking shit on Star Is Born right now, and I gave it love, but like that story has been done many times before. The Infinity Gauntlet has only been done once, and it's the Infinity fucking Gauntlet, the Infinity Gauntlet. So not everyone knows the story. The fact that so many people were walking out of the theater pissed off, I loved the fuck out of it. That so many people were sour, posting up fucking Facebook posts like, Marvel, you fucked a lot of women too, a lot of broads were fucking pissed. Marvel fucked up. I took my kids to watch this. You don't know what you did to this kid. Look, stole your fucking role. It was greatly written. It was greatly pulled off. I loved the fuck out of it because they were ballsy enough to give you a 2.5 hour long movie and make you sit down, not just for the end credits, but it had you sitting there just watching the lights go on and being like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like, the heroes lost. Like, they didn't win. Like, that's it. You're going to leave me like that. That is what I loved the fuck out of. Everyone's expression, everyone being pissed off because they wanted a conclusion. You know what? It was a conclusion. And I loved the fuck out of it. So whoever got pissed off, again, can bite me one more time. That is my movie of the year. Now moving on, I'm going to hit Best Convention of 2018. Number 3, I didn't go to a lot. There were a few I bailed on because of a story I'm going to tell you guys. Number 3, Los Angeles Comic Con 2018, because I went with RG and Alan and Alan's friend Juliet. And just to have people around, good people, I always love the fuck out of. So that was number 3, Best Convention of the Year. Number 2 is WonderCon 2018. WonderCon in general just treats us well as the comic syndicate. We get hooked up with fucking interviews galore. And speaking of, is best convention of 2018 is going to be San Diego Comic Con 2018. And I do have a story behind that. I got a lot of interviews and I got a lot of work done. And I didn't think I could pull this off again, especially by myself. You know what, even on top of that, dude, interviews of the year that I've done, number 2 would have to be Chris Connolly and Rebecca Romaine Connolly. Number 1 interview I did this year is going to have to be Rick Remender, which I'm still working on a podcast to get those ones out to you guys. So now after that, now that we're talking more on comics, I had to ask a lot of fucking, comics. Or I guess topics. Cover of the year I canceled this year. But I'm honestly, variant cover is Red Hood and the Outlaws number 27, which is his new costume. And then a variant cover also of Red Hood and the Outlaws number 26, where Red Hood is holding his fucking Red Hood mask. And he's in the dark. And he's in a shadow. And his shadow turns into bats. And it's pretty much him getting axed out of the bat family. I love the fuck out of that. Panel of the year got canceled. But it was... one of the top runners was Thanos number 15. Jeff Shaw was the artist. It's pretty much just seeing an unchained Hulk with a beard, whimpering like a dog, and asking Frank Castle, Ghost Rider, to kill him. It was just a beautiful and fucked up panel, but I guess that one takes it, but that one did get canceled. Shitty Book of the Year got canceled this year, and I'll explain why, because I don't have enough time to read everything, which isn't a bad thing, again. I've been busy, so busy with everything and the new podcast, both of them, and just the work in the second job. I don't have enough time. It's kind of good because I can be a little bit more picky about what I read now, which is really dope. All right, next one is going to be, these are the legit topics I have. Arc of the year. Number four is going to have to be Batman White Knight by Sean Murphy. Art by Sean Murphy. This one came out in October 2017 and ended May this year, 2018. Just that arc was so fucking good. It's pretty much a story of if Joker got rehabilitated and showed Gotham, like, you know, Batman's not the hero. You think he is. Love the fuck out of it. Arc of the year, new comic for this year is number three, Cosmic Ghost Rider. Donny Cates was great. Just putting this out. I love the fuck out of it. Number two spot is going to be have to be the setup for Cosmic Ghost Rider, honestly, is Thanos. Thanos Wins was that arc. Donny Cates is also the writer on that. And Jeff Shaw, still the artist. Antonio Fabella, the inker on that. Colorist. It's just dope. It felt like an Image Comics title. An Image is more ballsier and gritty, and they're not... they're cool, comfortable with deaths and being a little bit, you know what, let's push the bar a little bit. I love the fuck out of it. Arc of the year, I'm going to have to explain a little bit, and maybe not yet. Number one is going to be The Death of the Mighty Thor by Jason Aaron. And I'll give reason after the next few topics. My next one is going to be Event of the Year. Doomsday Clock, DC Comics by Geoff Johns is the writer. It's a good self-contained story. Geoff Johns is a great writer. I loved it. Avengers No Surrender, Lethal Legion versus Black Order versus the Avengers, Mark Waid, and a bunch of other writers were on top of that one. Infinity Wars is going to come in third place spot. Jerry Duggan is the writer. Mike Diodato Jr., I just love his art. Inks by Frank Martin. Event of the year number two place would have to go to Heroes in Crisis. Tom King's the writer. Clay Mann's the artist. Tomu Mori is the colorist. It's just a place or a sanctuary for heroes to go to cope. Like, you gotta look at it like they see so much shit, so much damage. They can't save everyone that, you know what? Even heroes need a place to go to talk and to cope. It's going on ongoing. Both of these ones are ongoing right now. Doomsday Clock is still ongoing. Event of the year for me was Extermination. It's a Marvel Comics title. Ed Brisson's the writer. Pepe Larraz is the artist. The art's been great. Marte Gracia is the inker. It's pretty much the death of your kind. So mutants and your future selves versus the time-traveling and time-altering counterparts. I really dug on it. And I don't know, just an X-Men title that was just good and self-contained, like five-issue arc. Even Event was good. It was a full-on event that had everyone in, but I'll consider it an event because, again, I have time to be picky. I don't have time to read everything. So if my list differs than your guys' list, tell me how you guys would have flip-flopped. I'm totally cool with that. Next one's going to be an interesting one. I started, I want to say, last year. Best New Comic of the Year. Number five is going to be a Marvel title, Shatterstar. Writer's going to be Tim Seeley. Gerardo Sandoval, his art is always beautiful. Carlos Avila is the inker. Number four is going to be Best New Comic of the Year. Number four, Heroes in Crisis. Tom King again. Clay Mann. Tomei Morey is the inker on that. Best New Comic of the Year. Number three, after I just gave it praise, is going to be Extermination. Ed Brisson is the writer. Pepper Larraz is the artist. Marte Gracia is the inker. Number two was almost number one, and I'll explain it real quick. Venom has been out for the longest time. They kind of started it up again. And Venom was number one. Donny Cates is the writer and Ryan Stegman is the artist. And I loved the fuck out of it. But the one that took best new comic of the year for me, because I was reviewing it every time it would come out, and I didn't want to spoil anything. Like, I want you guys to read all of these. They're great. Like, read Venom. It's so good. Best new comic of the year is going to be Cosmic Ghost Rider by Donny Cates. Just a great fucking weird, almost like an Image comic title as well. Just dark and twisted, and I loved the fuck out of it. Next one is going to be, topic is going to be most underrated book of the year. This is going to be interesting. I don't know how underrated this one is because now it went into my honorable mentions list for most underrated comic of the year. This character is going to stay around for a while now in the Marvel Universe because I wasn't the only one talking this title up. Honorable mention is going to sound odd. It's going to be Cosmic Ghost Rider. An honorable mention is going to be Mr. Miracle by Tom King and Mitch Gerards. It's been out, last year, and it ended this year. But it was so beautiful. It's like a 7-8 issue arc. Contains story. It's worth reading, guys. It's DC, and it's fucked up, and it's beautiful all at the same time. Next one's going to be Descender from Image Comics. Jeff Lemire is the writer. Destin Nguyen's the artist. Just the art and the story have been so great, and I love the fuck out of that title. Did not make underrated book of the year, although honorable mentions. Number five is going to be Thanos. Donny Cates is writing it. Jeff Shaw was the art on that. Thanos number five would have to be underrated because I think I was the only one talking about that title. Any other podcast, comic podcast I was listening to, no one was fucking talking about it as much as I was. That could almost be most underrated book of the year, but let me continue. Number four is on my list is going to be Red Hood and the Outlaws, written by Scott Lobdell. Dexter Story is the artist. It's dope. I love the fuck out of it. The way Scott Lobdell has been writing Red Hood is a beautiful, and I've grew up on Scott Lobdell's writing, so it's just a beautiful journey he's been taking Jason Todd on, and the effects of drug abuse to a certain degree. Friendship, family, everything. He knows how to write them. Just beautiful. Number three for me is going to be most underrated book of the year. And I see it on Twitter more than anywhere else. But Venom, right now, written by Donny Cates. Ryan Stegman's the artist. I love the fuck out of it. It's so fucking good. And I feel like I'm the only one talking about it sometimes. Number two for me is something I don't hear on, again, any other podcast, comic-wise or other. Is going to be a Marvel comic title that is going to end. And this was almost number one for me. Darth Vader. Charles Soule's the writer. Giuseppe Camuncoli's the artist. And this is really number two. Again, almost made number one. It ended literally with issue number 25 this past week. By the time you guys hear this, last week, it's been so fucking good. It's underrated. No one's talking about Vader going on these journeys. And you know what? I'm taking one final journey one final time with him. At the end of the podcast. Most underrated book of the year is going to have to be The Mighty Thor. Jason Aaron's the writer. Russell Dodderman is the artist. And Matthew Wilson is the colorist. Oh my god, fuck me. Just so beautiful. And I think I might need to talk about it right now because it is the best way to put it to you guys. It's most underrated book of the year. The best way to look at it is Jane Foster. So Jane Foster, you guys have seen on the movies, she finds out she has cancer. She's able to wield Mjolnir. She's able to hold the hammer that initially said any man that's worthy to pick up the hammer. She's able to pick it up. It's underrated because no one is fucking talking about it. Go to big name fucking podcasts, comic podcasts. Now, I'm not going to say we're big time. We're not. But so fucking beautiful. She has cancer. Every time she picks up this hammer, that makes her essentially into Thor. It takes away any chemo treatments she has. It's depleting her energy. Every time she turns back down to her human form, her Jane Foster self, she's killing herself faster because of this. And I don't know, just a self-reflective year. And I'm going to go over a few more things, but it's underrated completely. Like, It's beautiful. It's the Mighty Thor. Find it, guys. It's so, the art's gorgeous. And the story is like, it's going to make you feel good and bad. And I want you guys to read it. So next one is going to be next topic. I'm going to talk about that title probably a little bit more too. But for now, I'm going to go through most consistent book of the year. This is going to be interesting because honorable mentions East of West. Jonathan Hickman is the writer. Nick Dragotta is the artist. Frank Martin is the colorist. It's this title's ending soon. I love the fuck out of it. I don't want it to leave me. Honorable mention is going to be Batman, White Knight, written by Sean Murphy, art by Sean Murphy. It's dope. I'm glad it's coming back soon. Honorable mention is going to be Mr. Miracle, Tom King, and Mitch Gerrits. So consistent with these fucking titles, dude. Number five is going to be Red Hood and the Outlaws, written by Scott Lobdell, art by Dexter Soy. Just love the fuck out of it. Number four, most consistent book of the year. These lists are hard to do, guys. Darth Vader, written by Charles Soule, Giuseppe Camuncoli is the artist. Another title that just ended that I don't want it to leave, and it's just, give me more Vader and shit. I'm learning about Vader, and it's all canon now. Number three, most consistent book of the year is going to be Cosmic Ghost Rider, written by Donny Cates. Again, so fucking good all year long. Five-issue arc, and it was beautiful. Most consistent book of the year, also Venom, comes in number two, written by Donny Cates. You keep hearing his name. I keep talking about him. Ryan Stegman, I always love his art, and it's fucking dope. Most consistent book of the year. You give the symbiote a voice, and this symbiote cares about Eddie Brock, and Eddie Brock is an asshole. You shouldn't like both these characters so much, but it works so well and in a darker way, and just the art seeing it that way is so beautiful. Most consistent book of the year, that again is still underrated, that I just spoke about, The Mighty Thor, written by Jason Aaron, and Russell Dodderman is the artist on that one. Most consistent book of the year, that title ended again, Jane Foster. It was so consistent, guys. Like, she had to come to terms with her friends telling her, like, you are killing yourself. Like, Odin's son and Doctor Strange and her friends, like, you need to stop picking up that fucking hammer. Like, you keep doing this. We care about you. We love you. You work too fucking much. It's beautiful. And she's like, okay, I promise I won't. This ending of the arc and this whole story is beautiful. The way she has to fight other gods and they treat her like shit. Nobody knows it's Jane Foster, a regular person holding the hammer, though. There's this beautiful comic where Asgard is getting destroyed by this character called Mangog. And the hammer is just floating outside her hospital window. Like, it's just floating there. And she's like, you know, I can't. And it's sad, because even, like I just said, given these things, characteristics, the hammer, Mjolnir, looking at her like, just waiting for her. And she's like, I know they need me. She's like, okay, fuck it, you're right, it's time to go to work. It's beautiful. And sad to fucking see, especially because everything that happens is beautiful. But, like, she knows she can do something. She knows it's going to fuck her up. And that's what's beautiful and fucked up and sad about it. Most consistent book of the year. Moving on, I'm going to hit duo of the year, writer of the year. Okay, so let's just hit it. Number five is going to be Red Hood and the Outlaws. Duo artist, writer of the year. Scott Lobdell, writer, Dexter Soy. I believe that one came in last place last year. These last four are really going to hurt me for the most part. I mean, these orders got really nuts really fast and out of hand. Before it was because, you know, some of these titles are going to leave me. The number one is hopefully the duo that will stick around with me for a while. But even saying that, that's not quite the case. And the next three are definitely well-deserved. And yeah, I'm going to give you my picks and choices for duo of the year, artist, writer, which I think I'm now going to change to team of the year. So number five, again, Red Hood and the Outlaws. Number four is going to be East of West. It's been number one, top five in my, since we started the podcast 4 years ago. East of West, Jonathan Hickman's the writer, Nick Dragotta's the artist, Frank Martin's the inker. Number three is going to be duo artist, writer of the year, Darth Vader, Charles Soule is the writer. Giuseppe Camuncoli is the artist. Daniel Orlandini and David Carell are the inkers and colorists. Duo Artist Writer of the Year. Number two, Venom, Donnie Cates, Ryan Stegman, J.P. Mayer, and Frank Martin are the colorists and inkers on that. Damn it. That should be number one. This one changed for me today. Just going over everything, I'm like, it has to be The Mighty Thor, written by Jason Aaron, Russell Dodderman, and Matthew Wilson. The art is gorgeous and amazing, and I don't know how to praise it enough. And this is a title that's not out anymore. It ended this year with the arc, The Death of the Mighty Thor. And I don't want to give anything away, and I think I did review these. It's been a long year, and I've written a lot, and I'll go into those, but it's worth checking out, guys. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's a female Thor, and nobody has seen this before, and a lot of people were pissed off. And again, no one was fucking talking about it. Adam got me into Thor when our Odin son was still Thor with God Bomb and the God Butcher. And it was beautiful. Assad Ribic was the artist on that. So the fact that I'm like, I love the fuck out of Thor now. And once Jane Foster became Thor, it's like, I love her so much. She's such a badass. So if you guys want a strong, empowering woman, pick this title up. Like, ask me, Josias, where can I find it? Read the last arc. Find everything you can on this character. It's so fucking good. And Jason Aaron has been writing Thor the long game for the longest time, about the last 5 years maybe. And it's just so beautiful. All right, guys, this is going to be really interesting. These are going to be books of the year for me, and I'm going to go into each of these slightly and briefly. These are single comics that stood out to me the most. In fifth place spot is going to be Batman number 38, The Origin of Bruce Wayne, written by Tom King. Travis Moore is the artist on this title. It's just a single one issue. Guido Brusco is the inker. It starts off with a young boy named Matthew having to cope with the loss of his parents. And it almost looks like if he's talking to an older version of himself. So I guess it even looks like a flashback for the most part of a young Bruce Wayne and what he would have to go through. And that's the trippy thing about this. As this story progresses, it jumps back and forth. We see panels of what's going on, what's been happening, who's pulling the strings, who's doing what, and what this kid has going through and trying to cope with the loss of his parents. And he now is at Wayne Manor, and he's like, I'm Batman. He's like, no, kid, you're just deranged. He's like, no, I had my parents killed because I know, oh, fuck me, what is it? Bruce Wayne lost his parents. I'm Bruce Wayne, actually, is what this kid says. I'm Bruce Wayne. I can do better just like he did. And it's like, dude, you had your parents killed. You're a fucking nut job. And it's really interesting just the parallels you get out of it. Like, he's like, I'm all alone now. And he's like, Bruce says, I know you're scared. It's okay to be scared. It means you get the chance to be brave. And then that's when we get the twist in this, and the boy Matthew confronts him once again. And now Bruce realizes, like, how sick or mentally unstable and deranged this boy is, and how twisted this kid's infatuation is. He's like, if I lose my parents too, I can be strong like you, Bruce Wayne. And as he's talking to this kid, he's pissed off. The kid says, Matthew says, I'm Master Bruce, and I will never stop fighting for the light, for Gotham, for mommy and daddy. As he's telling Bruce Wayne this, he's like, stop it. You're not Bruce Wayne. You're a sick kid with dead parents. And the way Tom King wrote it was sad, because the kid answers back, well, yes, but what else is Bruce Wayne? And just ends kind of there. And it was beautiful because it's like the self-reflection Bruce Wayne needed. Like, what the fuck? Like, he never realized he was deranged himself. So again, nods, tip of the hat off to that one. Single issue, love the fuck out of it. At number four, I reviewed recently, a Marvel title, Champions number 24, It Could Happen to You. Not necessarily just saving the world as heroes, but this youngster team, so Miles Morales, young Ms. Marvel, we have young Radical Hulk, I forget his name, all these characters just coming together. Vision is beautiful, and them talking as friends, as kids, and like going to school, and let's go to school, and like, well, how are you doing in your classes? Are you taking in your summer school classes? Dressed up as heroes, fixing up this construction site that they raised money for. And then literally minutes later, Miles Morales getting a phone call, messages on his phone that something happened at his school. Single issue, beautiful, powerful issue worth reading because of the gun crisis we are going through in the world. And it was beautiful and it was sad. And that's how writing should be. It should make you feel a certain way. And even the way they were talking about it, like one of the characters says, like, it's pointless to care by this point when we stop caring eventually anyways. Like, you know, then once it happens again, we just forget about what happened the last time. And it's time for us to worry again until it happens again. And for any kid in the world to have to go through that now is terrible. So I thought it was a beautiful story, and I want more people to read it and read it with their kids. And if you guys want that one, it's Champions number 24. Hit me up. I can let you know exactly where it is. Number 3 is an interesting arc more than anything. It's Thanos number 13, 14, and 15. Thanos wins. Donnie Cates is the writer. Jeff Shaw is the artist. Antonio Fabella is the inker. It's just pretty much almost, it's definitely book of the year candidate. Like going through the birth of Thanos and what he went through and what drove his mother mad uttering his name for the first time and knowing like his son is a mutant, twisted, ugly looking fucking creature. So even at a young age, he's ostracized and it's terrible. And the Thanos win aspect, again, I love the fuck out of it, book of the year, because it feels like an Image Comics title where it's dark. And you know what? Thanos pulling up younger Thanos, an old man Thanos pulling up young current Thanos, and like, I need your help to kill these people. Like, I need to test myself. It's stupid and weird. And that's where we get introduced to Cosmic Ghost Rider. And it's both of them end up fighting a souped up, onyxed out Silver Surfer with Mjolnir. And it's a sad, fucked up read. Like, he gets his ass kicked, Silver Surfer. And it was just like, I can't believe Marvel is ballsy enough to put something like this up. Loved the fuck out of it. Number 2 spot is going to be another Marvel title. It's under the Marvel banner, Darth Vader, number 18. Now, this one, I love the fuck out of Charles, so I love the fuck out of your writing, dude, Giuseppe Comancoli, the art, is great. It's just number 2 spot, Vader needing and wanting to challenge himself. I reviewed this one when I went to San Diego Comic Con. It's that one. So even to the point where it looks like he's just ready to die already and give up. Like, he has to challenge himself. Like, put me out of my misery type of thing. Where he's on this death hunt of sorts, and we get this sick and twisted horror movie vibe out of it, where he's a stalker now, and he's like worse than Jason, and the things he has to do to survive, using different tools and different types of ways to survive. Anti-Kill was beautiful, and I still need to send these issues out to a lot of people, because a lot more people than I was thinking wanted this one. It was a busy year for me, and I am going to hook you guys up, but it was, with this one, it was just, for me, the odd parallels in my own life this year in comics standing out that feel good and ring through just a little bit more for me. Like, this one was one I really needed to read, especially going to San Diego Comic Con by myself when I was doing this with a partner. Not a partner, but my co-host, and missing the fuck out of my co-host and having to do all this work by myself is an interesting beast. And I'm going to go into that a little bit more. But yeah, that was something that I needed, where it's like, this feels like me. Like, I need to challenge myself. Like, San Diego Comic Con is a challenge. And this whole year starting up again has been a challenge. And I'm going to go through that right now. Number 1 book of the year for me is going to have to be just a one-off. It's going to be a DC title. It's going to be number 1 place. Swamp Thing, Winter Special, number 1. The Talk of the Saints. Tom King's the writer with several artists. It starts off with a single leaf falling, and then winter hits, and it quickly gets enveloped in snow. As the storm gets worse, we see panels after panels of Alec Holland, Swamp Thing, carrying a little boy in his arms. then finally stops in the middle of the night where we see Swamp Thing remove his hand as the boy says, like, "I thought you were a monster." And Swamp Thing says, "I'm not." The boy says, "Monsters are bad and do bad things. You're not. He is." Swamp Thing says, "Who?" And it's really fucked up. Swamp Thing is in charge of the Green. And he's stuck in the snow trying to save this little boy, trying to keep this little boy alive. Hence why he's chopping off his limbs, his arms, so he can keep this boy warm at night during this fucking blizzard. And every day Swamp Thing is here, it's killing him. And he's trying to keep somebody alive. And this little boy keeps something like, "This monster is after us. Like, when you go to sleep, he comes after us more." He's like, "You keep fighting, though. And you keep fighting. And you haven't stopped fighting. And you still won't give up." Until Swamp Thing, little by little throughout the book, he's like, "The seasons aren't changing. Like, time is fucking me up being here." He's like, "Winter should have ended a long time ago, a few months ago. I'm still here. I'm dying." As we see Swamp Thing deteriorating for the most part. And almost wanting to give up till he realizes and holds the kid. And the little boy is talking to him. And Swamp Thing realizing, like, "I'm sorry. I know what I have to do." He's like, "There is no monster. Like, the monster is you. You're the thing that's killing me, and I really have to give you up. Like, I thought I was here to help you. The only way to help you and the only way for me to live is I have to cut you out of my life." And it's a beautiful fucking story. I believe I started up the Comic Syndicate again by reviewing that title, and that's always going to ring true because we have to do that sometimes. Not to that extent, of course not, but just I don't know. It was beautiful to me, and it stood out. And that's been, again, I don't know. I guess this is why it's going to ring true. And, again, everything is just like a parallels of what I've been going through this year, and hopefully it makes sense. Last way I'm going to end the podcast is going to be different. I just want to give a huge thank you to you guys, the listeners and the audience just in general. It took me 5 months to get out of this weird sort of funk. In a way, one of my best friends broke up with me, and I didn't know how to accept it, and know how to take it, and I didn't know for 5 months what I was going to do with the Comic Syndicate. I literally put it up on the shelf for 5 months. The funny thing is, though, that during those 5 months, I never stopped working, and that's not just even the second job. I was still writing reviews. I was still pulling information. Or let alone just never stop working, you know, figuring out how or where, how I'm going to work or start up again with the Comic Syndicate. You know, as far as the equipment and audio, uploading feeds and pictures and writing reviews to keep up with what's still going on in the world as pop culture and comic wise, and to still gather all that up, to soak up all that information still. I still read the news every day. I just don't have what the fuck news anymore. To not just like half share my work, like, "Adam, I miss you. I love you. You're not going to listen to this. I know you got sad or upset with me the last time you heard something, and that's not my intentions ever. Like, I love the fuck out of you. I miss the fuck out of you." But the workload was half and half. You did the equipment work. I did the home work. And I don't know if you saw it more than that, or if you saw, I don't know how you saw it, homie, but I fucking miss you. So now, you know, having to take on the full toll of everything by myself was honestly just a fucking bitch. So 5 months in with all this work stored up and knowledge now, finally at my fingertips, like, I was there. And the scary part was honestly asking myself, okay, so we stopped recording literally end of the year last year, and it sucked. And, 5 months go by, and it's like my best friend left me. Like, I'm heartbroken. Like, my girlfriend just left me without saying anything. And I knew it was going to happen. But so 5 months go by, and I'm still getting all this work. I'm gathering all this work. It sucks, dude. My first question to myself was, could I pull this off by myself? Do I have the confidence to go out by myself and record solo? Would anyone care? Would anyone listen to me anymore? Like, we've been out for 5 months. So many podcasts get put out just on a day-to-day basis now where it's like, would anyone listen? Would anyone care? Do I have the balls to do this? I hate my voice now, and that's the only thing you guys are going to get is just my fucking voice. And just all these went through my head, which leads me to the next closing part. I really have to thank you guys once again. Two people in particular, they don't know what they did. Like, they had me on their show early on this year, and I did talk about them early on the podcast, and they just, you know, the 2OC podcast. Alan Flores and Anton Duong had me on their podcast for a summer movie draft, and just to be on the mic again made me feel good. It made me feel at home, like, shit, I missed doing this. So rocking that out with them made me miss it even more, which was the kick in the ass I kind of needed to go back to work. And that's pretty much why I'm back, and this is why I'm pulling this cheesy stunt off right now. I want to thank everyone for all the support. Eric, listeners, I talked to you guys on the side. Like, some of you guys have my numbers. Eric, thank you, homie. I appreciate the love and support. Lynn, same to you. Lupe, you as well. RG, thank you, man, for jumping on deep dives and rabbit holes with me. Helps out a lot, and I know how you feel about these things. Christine from the office, thank you for the encouragement for deep dives and rabbit holes. Victoria, executive producer, thank you so much for your help on deep dives and rabbit holes. You guys don't have to listen to the Comic Syndicate. This is just my own special passion project. So to have all these passion projects, Sunny, thank you so much for, the encouragement on the next one is, the audio chronicles means a lot to me. Like, all these, the Comic Syndicate is my fucking baby, like, straight up. I have so much love for it, and the things that I'm able to do because of it is fucking dope and rad. And that's not why I kept it going. It's because it's something I fucking created, and I love the fuck out of it, and it allows me to be creative and express myself, and I could write more. But this was a long one I wrote, and I hope you guys like it. I hope you guys enjoy it. I know I went long. I was going to go long anyways. Please share the podcast, guys. Find me, subscribe to me in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Share the podcast more than anything. This is a weird list. If you're into pop culture, if any of these comics sound good to you, if they sound terrible to you, if you agree with me on these shows and these movies, bust everyone else's balls because I don't watch fucking TV. If you agree with my movie picks, please pick my fucking brain. If I have time, I'm more than happy to hit you guys up. But I realize this year, I don't have much time. So the little time I do, I try to spare my time where I can with who I can. Friends, family, like you guys know, I made more time for you guys. So, and I know not everyone sees it, but hopefully you guys know I'm a hustler and I'm a grinder, and I love doing this. Hope you guys like it, enjoyed it. Hope you guys had a great holiday season, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, every holiday that's coming up. Yeah, I love it. I love you guys. Share the podcast more than anything. I will catch you guys next year. Peace out.